Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Brad and Body Podcast. It's great to have you, Bottom, my friend. We're coming up to week three. This is our first pod about the season, so we are back. We are ready to go. Talk to me, my friend.
Well, it's been very interesting so far because I think all of us, most of us had expected Cairns to be down near the bottom and they're not travelling too badly. They've got a couple of good-looking players there. I just like the way it's all shaping up. Well, what is your first takeaway from the first couple of weeks?
Loving it. Illawarra look outstanding, I've got to call two of their games. Melbourne will be Melbourne, Perth will be Perth, Sydney will be Sydney, and then the rest, let's see what happens.
Hang on, stop right there. You go Sydney, Melbourne, Perth will be, then the rest. What about, Tasmania, they'll be there, and Illawarra, they'll be there.
I said Illawarra, I'm agreeing. I'm saying that right now my top four are there. Tasmania, I'm still worried without Jack McVeigh. I think they're good. I just worry about them. They had to get a win in a very dogfighted way, like Melbourne had to score 30 at the half for them, to get that win, Tasmania. And I just think that, I don't know, they've got to be able to keep that energy up. Will Magnay plays like that every week? Oh, yeah, they're making the top two. But, wow.
Look, you can't replace Jack McVeigh. In the history of the game, I don't think anybody's had a better year than he had in 2024. Yeah, when you look at where he came from, the team wins the championship. He wins the Larry Sangstock medal. He gets picked for the Olympics. He gets to actually play and be a factor in the Olympics.
Yes, he was.
He gets to the NBA. So you take that player out and you go, okay, they're going to take a dip. But I actually feel we'll get more from Drimmick. We'll get more from Magnay. We'll get more from other guys that will
Doyle,
step up.
Jordan Crawford,
Scott Roth is an excellent coach in terms of bringing the best out of people, as is Justin Tatum, which is why I really enjoy those two clubs, Tasmania, Illawarra, and Ruben Tarangi, who I would have said last year, hang up the boots, mate, you suck. Mm. He's already more active and more engaged than I've seen since he was back in his Brisbane days when he was sixth man of the year.
All right, everyone, thank you. That's the Brad and Body Podcast. You all have a lovely afternoon and we'll see you next time.
What happened to your Rosen Rattler?
No, I'm joking. All right, so we're coming into week three, as I said, or round three. Some teams have played three, some teams have played two. What we're going to do is we're just going to change this up a little bit. I'm just going to go through alphabetical body of the teams and let's just talk about it. So let's start with the Adelaide 36ers. Obviously, at the moment, they're 0-2, lost to Sydney and lost to Cairns. Where are they at? Obviously, we've spoken about the coach's change. To me, and I'm going to go first, they don't all look to be on the same page, right? Montrez Harrell. He looked frustrated on the weekend in Cairns. Only played 20-odd minutes, but I don't know what was going on there because something didn't seem right with him where it was like, give me the goddamn ball. How many times have I got to tell you? That's what it felt like to me. What did you see?
I see that this is a team in a little bit of turmoil. I think they absolutely have to beat Southeast Melbourne Phoenix in this round, in their first home
game. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix have to absolutely beat them. But anyway, we'll come back to that.
Yeah, exactly. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I mean, they're really 0-2. Sydney game, reasonably good performance. Cairns, 77 apiece at three-quarter time. And then Corin Galloway comes in and bang, scores 12 of the next 13 points as they go 90-77.
Sorry, I just got to cut you there. How much would he love that against his old team?
Is that just the
thank you, Lord, for letting me do that? If there's one team, like if he doesn't play, doesn't do anything for the rest of the season, he's rubbing his hands and going, yes, sir.
But I'm worried about the 36ers from the point of view. We saw that obscenity laden tirade from the coach at the practice recently. We saw that. I'm thinking, if you're having to do that a week or two in, that's not a good sign. I think we're going to see Isaac Humphries disappear because he's his own worst critic. And he signed for 2 years when Scott Ninnis was appointed coach. And I think because in Ninnis's program at the towards the end of last season, he was getting the ball the first four or five offenses. They were all coming in through Isaac.
He looks like a professional screener at the moment to me. That's it. Yeah, he's screen. There was one time I saw on the weekend where he set a screen. This is what it felt like to me watching. And again, I'm watching it on TV. I'm not behind the scenes. I don't know. He sets the screen and it looked like, I can't even remember who comes off the screen, and it's irrelevant, right? Because I'm just watching him and he comes off the screen. It's like, set the screen, roll. And it looked like in his mind, I ain't getting the bloody ball, and just turned around and ran back to defense. That's what it looked like to me.
Yes. And I think once we get Jarrell Martin, once we get him fit and he's ready to return to the 36ers lineup, then I doubt very much that they'll want to be getting rid of Montrezl Harrell. So well, Isaac
Alex
becomes...
Alex Starling then will go because he's the import. Let's remember, three imports, right?
He's not an import. He's naturalised, but he'll go anyway because they've only got the third one with Kendrick Davis. So he'll be the guy that gets the flick because he's a Ninnis guy as well. And Isaac Humphries is going to, I think, just go into his shell and not be worth much for him this season. I hope that's wrong because I love the guy when he's going, but the way they're treating him or the way he's feeling about himself in this environment, I think they're a team that's definitely in transition.
I don't disagree with you.
A big upside.
They had 10 more shots than Cairns in that game that they lost. They shot 77 shots. Kendrick Davis had 14 points on 17 shots, 1 of 7 from the 3-point line. DJ had 24, but from 23 shots. So you can see a lot of the shots are coming from the outside based on that. 12 of 26 from the three. I think it's worrying. I agree with you. They've got a big game coming up against Southeast Melbourne. Yep. Let's move on to Cairns.
Brisbane. Let's move on to Brisbane because we're doing it alphabetically. That's A, B, C.
I don't even get a chance to say, hang on, let's make it Brisbane. My goodness, body, thank you. Jumping, you know what I was thinking now? What we might do is, why don't we just talk about the Brisbane Bullets? I will again start off. I thought absolutely pathetic and woeful against New Zealand, but they came back hard. And even the coach said that. That was game one. Okay, so that was pathetic. I then go to game two. I'm there in Illawarra. They came out absolutely not ready to be there at Illawarra, pumped 38 points on them. 38. And unfortunately for Illawarra, and very much like Sydney, because I spoke about them, they're having their up and down quarters. So they let them back into the game. They didn't even look like they were going to. They had no answer to Trey Kell's on-ball high screen. They had no answer to really anything they wanted. And the one, obviously, I'm standing there, and the one thing that stood out to me, and again, I don't want to, you know, throw names out there, but I know that Harrison was setting he was on D. His man, probably Froling, I wasn't really watching who he was guarding at that stage, was setting a screen, and they wanted to force it either over or the way from the screen, but I was just watching Harrison. And whoever was defending that forced it the wrong way, and they gave up a layup. And Harrison just looked at the bench as if to say, how can we not do that? Right? Mm. And then you could just see the frustration with the Bullets. They scored 101 points, but they gave up 130. You're not going to win games like that. They can't play defense. They've lost Sam McDaniel for the season, their best defender. And Mitch Norton had a hip flexor, and I'd be surprised if he'll be back this weekend.
I got a question for you. How many teams do you remember winning the Blitz, winning the championship?
Oh, only Perth, if I remember. And I don't think it was called the Blitz then, by the way. But that's the only team I can remember. Right, yep, who are they?
Perth was one and Brisbane 2007. That's the only time it's happened. So teams that win the Blitz.
That was with the Joey Wright, Sam McKinnon.
So basically what we're saying is when you win the Blitz, it's worth nothing to you.
Well, Adelaide won it 2 years in a row, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. They beat an NBA team, still didn't do very well.
Yeah.
And I think Brisbane is nowhere near as good as what we thought.
Yep. And well, I didn't have them in my six. I had them down the bottom. My thing is Bateman's the key here, right? And he's been pretty ordinary, let's put it that way. And I'm thinking if they leave it too long, they'll be getting rid of him and go with another point guard unless he can, you know, really come to work at the moment because, yeah, he's not giving him enough 5 points in that second game on Friday. Mm.
Yeah, I think, look, there's talent there, just like there's talent in the Adelaide team, but if it's not harnessed and there's, you know, discipline breakdowns like the one you just described with Tyrell Harris, and then they're not going anywhere serious.
Harrison's just signed an extra deal, so he's there for a few more years, which I think is a good signing. He's been fabulous for them. And it doesn't get much easier. They're coming in against the Sydney Kings this weekend, who have a full week at home after losing in a pretty ordinary game for the Kings. I don't think they played awful, but you know what Gorge is like. He will not be happy with that. He will run them. They will play hard.
Man love.
I didn't even say anything. You're now got the man love on me man loving him, all right? So stop
you
this.
You said, oh, Gorge. Gorge won't allow that. Not my boy,
Brian. Watch how they come out. I tell you now, watch how they come out on Saturday night. They're going to come out with a cricket bat.
I will. Brisbane. A cricket bat. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to Cairns, because I think we all expected Cairns are going to be struggling, and that at home they might be Kings, and on the road they might be Queens. So what have we got from Cairns? I thought that was a very, very good performance.
Rob Edwards, that's what I've got you. And Sam Wardenburg, great to see him go 21 and 11. That's the Sam Wardenburg we want to see.
Yep. Isn't it interesting how players that leave Cairns and go to Sydney don't usually go that well? What happened to DJ Hoag? Is he even in the league anymore? Cam Oliver, was he the king of knuckleheads?
Did DJ Hoag play for the Kings?
Yeah, and then I thought Oliver, his behaviour against Illawarra was tiresome, to be honest.
Three silly fouls. I didn't see it, but I was in commentary, and you probably heard it as well. It sounded like Gorge went down to him, and because he got a warning from the referee, the Cam, zip that, mate, get playing. He was better the second time he came on. Bullquall absolutely manhandled everyone, but we'll come to the Kings soon. I do like the Kyle Adnam. I thought that was he gave him some really nice presents for them. And Jonah Antonio, I'm going to say I like that guy, but I haven't seen enough of him at this level when the lights are on to go, oh, he can play. I thought that was a good stepping stone the other night. Hit a couple of threes, looked better, played close to 30 minutes, mate. They need stuff out of him. He did have 13 points.
Taron Armstrong still to come back.
Yeah, I know.
Substantial player.
And then, of course, we've already spoken a big one, Kyron Galloway. That was brilliant, 12 points. A couple of threes he hit.
He broke open the game.
He did.
All right, moving on.
That was good. Warwick. Moving on. So, mate, you're such so aggressive today.
I'm looking at the clock. Come
did
on.
Did you say clock?
Shot clock.
Oh, because I thought you were looking at me and you said something else. Illawarra Hawks, how good are they? 3-0. Again, they are looking phenomenal. I'll say what I said last week and on air a number of times. When they go with no import and you say, all right, see you later, Justin Robinson. We're only bringing Tyler back. Let's go find two new imports. You're like, they signed Trey Kell. I like Trey Kell. I wasn't sure how that was going to fit in. Then you bring in another import to replace Gary Clark. And I'm like, I didn't have him in my six. Mind you, I said that before they signed Darius Days.
Really?
And
You didn't have him in the six? I would have thought five automatics would have been Sydney, Melbourne, Perth, Tasmania, Illawarra. There are five automatics for the six.
So the reason I didn't have them in there was no Darius Days. And the day and the week prior to that happening, I was asked to give my six. And I was like, if you lose Gary Clark, I don't know if they're going to make the six. Yeah. I'm wrong. Hand on heart, I say it. Darius Days is a beast, mate. He is phenomenal. He is tremendous for them.
And Trey Kell has got better every year in the league. Better. He was good. He was good injury prone, but good with Phoenix. Very good with Adelaide, and especially under Ninnis in the run home last season. And now, again, Justin Tatum, like Scott Roth, has the ability to draw the best out of players. Trey Kell is twice as good as what Justin Robinson brought from last year.
Oh, mate, don't even put him in the same class. I completely agree. You know what I love about Illawarra, and again, I got to see them so close. They go in an on-ball situation now, and as a small point guard that I was, when you go in an on-ball, if they double really well, you've got to sort of paddle back and kick the ball, right? But with Trey Kell, and their shortest team is 6'4" in Tyler Harvey. That's the shortest guy. There's no Brad Rose.
How big's Dave O'Hickey?
Oh, he's 6'4", 6'5". He's long, mate. Oh, yeah, he's long. Yeah, okay. Yeah, he's real long. So when you look at that, the difference, and this is something like a Josh Giddey situation, when you get doubled, you can see over the defender.
Yeah.
Right. So what can you do when you see over the defender? Pass the ball really well or get to your spots. Trey Kell on that is unbelievable. Brisbane had no answer. They doubled, they slipped, they did it. He'd step back, he'd hit the three, he'd get to his spot. He was phenomenal. And the Kings struggled with it on Sunday. Illawarra look outstanding. And Trey Kell, dare I say it, all NBL first team. Like, wow, unbelievable.
Yep. All right. Okay, let's move on. Who we got next?
Melbourne.
Okay. A little concerned about the five spot. Little bit concerned. Although I do like Rob Lowe and I do like Marcus Lee. I think offensively they've got to get Chris Gording and Ian Clark going. I don't, you know, you've really got to get them going. And
I would be shocked if I see a contender. Chris, I would be shocked if I don't see Chris starting from now on.
Yeah.
Right. So I just think that's enough. Ian Clark, love him. Bring him off the bench. He's too bloody powerful coming off there. Because you're not gonna bring Deli off the bench, right? And I don't think they'd start. And they won't bring Illy off the bench. So I think
they could. I think there are games where they could bring Illy off the bench.
I agree, I love that combination. From a coach's perspective, I'm just like, you want to set that presence on the defense, right? And that's what he always does. Mind you, he was 1 of 8 against there. But I'll tell you what, against Melbourne, geez, that was, 33 points at halftime? It was pretty ugly for Melbourne.
Yep. Tasmania were terrific, but you know, let's not talk about that so much as we're on United. Jack
Magne.
White.
Yeah. Magne.
We'll get to Tasmania.
I thought you were going to go. Okay, Jack White, 21 and 12, brilliant.
He's been a huge pickup. So like when you lose Ariel Happorty and JLA, you go, okay, well, geez, we're going to take a bit of a slump, but you pick Jack White up, and that's going to pick your points up.
So I just want to throw this at you. I agree. I worry about Rob Lowe and Marcus Lee. Jack White can play 5 in this league. My opinion, right?
Same as Keanu Pinder.
Yes, right. So the problem, I think, when you got Jack White, who plays their 4 spot? Now, obviously, Rob Lowe and Marcus Lee would be on the bench when I say that, right? Because, if you're going to play Jack White in the 5, I think that's where they may struggle. Really, it's Kyle Bowen. Mm. Now, I don't mind Kyle Bowen. I mean, his shot and his technique is there. But I don't mind him. But he's a hustler. But I don't know how long you can go with that. But would you go could you go Shea, Chris, Deli, Clark, and White? I mean, that is an all-powerful team, but it's small. Yeah, it's very small. So that's the only thing I worry. I just see that 4-5 spot is a bit of an issue for them. Well, not really the 4 because you can play Jack in it, but you know what I mean by that.
They need to suit up David Barlow.
Yeah, and you know what? He's probably ready too. He's been stretching for 3 years waiting for the call-up. New Zealand Breakers, if I said to you 3 weeks ago that they'd be 2-0, we would have said absolutely not. Then if I would have said to you, by the way, they'll play Brisbane and Southeast Melbourne, you might say maybe.
Yes.
Talk to me.
Because as we've already discovered, Brisbane isn't as good as what we thought it might be. Southeast Melbourne isn't as good as what we thought it might be. So therefore, New Zealand Breakers, having beaten 2 teams that we didn't think were that great, still doesn't make New Zealand great, but it's obviously you want to start 2-0 rather than 0-2, 0-3, whatever.
They're off to New Zealand. They're off to America NBA. For the NBA. I think they're leaving today.
That's
tomorrow, Wednesday.
I think that's going to hurt them.
I think it's so good for what the league does with it, but it will be very hard for them. There is a lot of talk right now coming out of New Zealand that Taco Fall, who signed up. So the ex-Boston Celtic, I think, and also Cavs player, 7'5" or whatever he is, he's signed up for their NBA games. There's a lot of talk coming out of New Zealand that he could be coming back with them and staying on for the season. Not confirmed yet.
That'd be very interesting. They got Parker. Who's their other import?
The big fella who got the his name will come to me in a second. Freddie Gillespie. And I think that's it. Mooney. Isn't Matthew Mooney? Right. Now, I like Mooney. They couldn't get rid of him. I think he's great.
Freddie, after he did the headbutt, he hurt himself a bit. He was a bit of Dizzy Gillespie.
To all our viewers and listeners, we are sorry for what just happened. Someone just came in from outer space there and just tried to play viewers. A body joke.
Yeah, viewers. Viewers, tune out, viewers. All right, let's move on.
And I still get going out. Jeez, body's in a mood today. We're going west to the Perth Wildcats. No Keanu Pinder. They were woeful. Don't know what happened with Keanu. Sorry, I shouldn't say they were woeful. That's a bit harsh, actually. They were nowhere near as good as they were in round one. Elijah Pepper, wow. And obviously Bryce doing Bryce.
Yeah. You got to like Perth. They'll be around the mark.
No oh, yeah, totally. Totally.
Hard to beat in Perth. Yeah, difficult to beat in Perth, so they've got a, they'll have a good home record, and they'll pick up their share on the road. They'll be around the business end, no worries. I think we can move on.
Well, let me talk about some positives, yep. All right? Yep. Obviously, Bryce had 20, but 4 of 13 from the field.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, he was manhandled there by Bulkwole.
Bulkwole is getting away with murder, and I think at some point the referees are going to watch some footage and go, geez, we're actually letting him get away with a bit too much,
yeah.
And he's going to be back in his foul zone, where,
yeah.
Which is where
yeah, no, I don't disagree.
Two early ones.
But I thought defensively they let Jalen Adams get off too easily, where Illawarra didn't. So I thought that's where Perth failed on that. But let's talk some positive. Windler, 14 and 16. Outstanding. Elijah Pepper, 5 threes and had 18 points. Forget the one he had for the game winner. He had a great game. And I am a massive fan of Christian Doolittle. You bring back what Pinder and this team is ready to go. Do worry a little bit. I'm just not sure where Ty Webster fits into this team now.
Yeah.
I don't know where that comes.
Well, looking at Christian Doolittle last season, I thought Christian Doolittle and Gary Clark were the two more impressive imports that maybe didn't get the kudos that they
deserved.
I think Gary
Clark
did.
He did have 7 turnovers on Friday night.
Yep.
Yeah, Doolittle.
But I just like the way he goes about it. Anyway.
Oh, look, I'll tell you, the first time Perth came to Sydney, I was with Derek and we're calling the game and John really came over and they're obviously close from their days. And we asked and JR and we said to him, mate, what's Doolittle like? Because this was like third or fourth game. He's like, mate, from the second he landed, he's been phenomenal. So I know that they love him over there and they signed him really quickly. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix. I had him in my six. I thought with the team built, they should be winning. I'm starting to question players, coaches, management, what is going on with this program? 0-3, it's not good enough.
I'm 100% with you. They've picked up 3 Sydney Kings championship winners in Jordan Hunter, Derek Walton Jr. and Angus Glover. Angus Glover, they're using him like a redheaded stepchild. Like he should be playing in this team.
Completely agree. Probably should be starting.
Yep, I agree with you. And I think Nathan Sobey, his body language, his approach has been, I would say, a little disconcerting. And then you go, well, he left Adelaide under sort of not good circumstances. He left Brisbane under not good circumstances. And now, once again, here we see him in the Phoenix. And you go, what's the common denominator here? And it's Nathan Sobey. I think he's got to evolve as a player and help his team. I mean, he's going to help them win a couple of games because of individual brilliance, but he's going to cost them a few too because of individuality. So
I agree with you. Yeah, yes, I do too. I worry about them just staying on the Sobey situation. You know, he went 3-12 in the first game. I think it was on the Thursday night, the showdown or whatever, you know, like it's the bang down, I think it's now called or something. So 3-12, 9 points for Sobes, you know, -8 plus minus, although I'm not a big fan. But then he comes out the next game and he does have 24 points, but they still don't get the win. And I'm with you, Boddy. It's like, which one are we going to get? I do like Matthew Hurt, their import. I really like him. I actually like Wieskamp? Yeah, I like him. Yep. I don't know why. Yep. There's something about him. You know how much I love Jordy Hunter. Best screen and roller. Yep. I think he's playing great. Yep. I really do. But there's something about this team. If they go 0-4 and Brisbane get them, that's going to be... I don't know where you come back from that, mate.
I don't either. Because historically, this is a club that
I said Brisbane. I meant Adelaide. My mistake. Sorry, Adelaide.
Yeah. Them. Historically, they're beset with injuries. Always. Historically. Look at every season. Right, go back
none
to
now,
the
though.
First season.
None now.
Ty Wesley. No, but some point,
Wesley.
That's gonna come in. That'll become a factor because that's just
Source
been a
Williams,
consistent.
Even who am I thinking of? He was playing with them last year, played NBA. the three-point shooter. He was even doing some commentary as well for us last year.
Him, that guy.
Yeah, but I mean, they're just injury prone. I know what you mean.
And so I sort of go, what's your strength and conditioning program like? You know, like I just don't have any faith in Phoenix right now. Personnel, right down to, I mean, Ben Ayre can't hit the floor. I just don't like the way that's shaping up, and they really have to get Adelaide on Thursday, and Adelaide have to get them. So that's actually pretty good. It should be a pretty good game.
Ryan Brockhoff, by the way, is who I was talking about. Ryan Brockhoff, I knew it would come to me.
Ryan Brockhoff, yes.
Yeah, because I love him. I thought he was a good, but he had some injuries as well. Let's move on to Sydney. First round looked great. Second round looked good against Perth. I thought it was a ripper game. The Illawarra game, I got to call it. It was another ripper game as well. Played really well. Kings were pretty dismal in the first quarter. Then they came back a little bit. I thought they played a bit of dumb basketball is probably the right words, with their fouls and the turnovers. And unfortunately, I hate to say it, Jalen Adams came out and played a little bit like he played last year.
Last season
and they couldn't get the win. Yeah.
He has to play well for them to be successful. Yeah. There's no doubt about that. But I don't want to diminish Illawarra in any way, because they're a championship contender. And so if you're saying Sydney's a championship contender, well, you've got to rate Illawarra. So the fact they won that game on the road, hats off to them. Circumstances, Sydney's coming back from playing the Wildcats, all that sort of stuff.
It was, but not enough. Can I just say, Tatum has not lost in Sydney. He's played there three times. Can you believe that?
Yeah, I can. That's a really good stat to have, and one that the Kings will want to get.
He's playing phenomenal. Tasmania, beautiful. They got to unveil the championship. Yep. It was great. Yep. It was an absolute dogfight. Typical Scott Roth type game. Whatever we need to do, we get this win. Magne was sensational. Just as in, he had his team ready to play. I love that.
Absolutely ready to play.
Yeah, I love that.
Had a lot to do with losing the first game in
Perth. Of course. Against Melbourne, mind you.
Yes, exactly.
So that's one for the season now. Yeah,
I think that was a bit more of a dogfight, or made into more of a dogfight by Melbourne than by Tasmania. I think a lot of the stuff that went on was instigated by Melbourne. I think Matthew Dellavedova, like Bull Quoll, gets away with a lot.
He does. Yeah. I say both teams won by 9, by the way. So they're 0-0 for the season. They're split at the moment. So 1-1 with a 9-point win each. So quite abnormal that goes on. But look, staying with them, thought Crawford was great, because, you know, there was a lot of talk about him last year and how he struggled and stuff, but then he came out and went bang in that game 5.
Yep.
Tarangi, 11 points. I agree with you. You said something earlier. Milton Doyle, such a huge fan. Although he did go 18 shots, 13 points. Very un-Milton-like. So,
as Joey Wright said on our program the other week, he's got to take shots. He has to insert himself, because it's selfish of him not to. When you've got that much sort of a talent and you're looking to be a facilitator, it's like, hang on a second, take some shots. Mm. Well, maybe he's taken a few bad ones. Doesn't matter. You want him taking them. I like the way they look. I think they'll be a contender. I think at this point, the only people talking about Jack McVeigh missing are media. Tasmania's just getting on with the job.
I think they will. I think they are. It also wouldn't surprise me. I just wonder if Jack will come back, you know, like sooner rather than later. Not that, you know, he's not playing a lot of minutes over there and stuff. I don't know anything. That is just a speculation. Yep. The G League is not an easy league to be playing up and down in and stuff like that. So, I mean, what a tremendous year, and it will be interesting to see. All right, what we're going to do now, buddy, is
Have a quick look at this round.
No, I want to go best moment, please. What was your best moment from last round?
I had a couple, but the one that stood out for me was Marcus Lee coming in for Melbourne United, about to throw down a two-handed slam dunk, and Will Magne says, no, you're not, and rejects it. The ball goes loose, gets down the floor to Jordan Crawford, hits a three. If that's not the most perfect of plays, I don't know what is. How about yourself?
Well, there was a couple. I love the one where Hyung Jong Lee threw it over his head to Tyler, who hit the three. That was really cool. But I can't go against Montrezl Harrell when he got the ball in the block up in Cairns, and he sort of like did a jab step to the right, dribble to the left, and just dunked it. Like, boom. Now, the guy looks a little bit out of shape a little bit, but he just finishes at the ring every single time. And he's among, then he runs down. You can see him yelling at the bench, give me the goddamn ball. Love him. Think he's fantastic. Real big player and real big great for this league.
Yeah, just got to get off the Lamar Patterson diet.
Oh, beautiful. Give me your winners, buddy. Adelaide at home to Phoenix. Round three, we start.
Adelaide.
Yep, I'm with you. Cairns at home to Tasmania.
Tasmania.
Yeah, I've got to go with that one too. Perth at home to Melbourne.
Perth. Yeah, Perth.
I'm going to go for the upset and say Melbourne.
Well, it's not, really
it's not an upset.
Because you can't Melbourne, be an upset win there. Well, Melbourne does win there a lot.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah, I just think Melbourne. They don't lose two in a row, but then does Perth? We'll see. Illawarra at home against Adelaide. Not asking you, Illawarra. I know you'll say that. Brisbane at home against Sydney. Not asking you. I know you're going to say Sydney. Please tell me if I'm wrong with either of these, but we're agreeing. Melbourne at home against Cairns. Hi, thanks for your tip, buddy. Melbourne.
No, Cairns.
Really?
Gone for the upset. Think last year they won in Melbourne a number of times. A couple of times they won in Melbourne.
Wow. Jot it down. Then what arguably could be one of the best games, Tasmania at home against Perth. Hard to say, and we always say here, please can we just at least watch the first game of each year so we know what's going to happen on Sunday. But I'm going Tassie at home. That means Perth lose both on the weekend, which is really stupid of me to say. But
no, I'm going with Tasmania too. But again, that's on the basis that all things being equal, like Bryce Cotton didn't roll his ankle in the first game, and Will Magmay didn't. Yeah. So all things being equal, I think Tassie gets
Knowledge nasty time.
Oh, stop the whining. Stop the whining. I get so sick. Every time the whistle goes, the player who's been called for a violation or a foul got to have a bitch and moan. I reckon the refs have got to just
What about when they spin the hand in the finger?
Oh, every foul got to do a 12. It's like, come on now. Just get over yourselves. And I think the league needs to go back to, if not zero tolerance, but close to it. A lot of this stuff, I just hate seeing it. Detracts from
the game. Can I just ask to all the listeners, when I said watch your nods and ask, you said stop the whining. I have no doubt every one of them thought, yeah, Brad, stop your whining, but you actually meant
that. No, that is my nasty.
Oh, sorry, I thought you were just telling me.
Tell me, give me your Rosenrattler. Let's get
the flopping. Around. The flopping. Oh, I can't stand it. All this flopping. And you know, like, I know the refs shouldn't call it and they should give it, but mate, they're so good at it now, it's really hard for a ref in this day and age where the game is so quick, right? It's so hard for them to know, was it a flop or wasn't it, right? And now it's getting back to those old things where you just take a flop and it's not. I'd love to see another challenge or something given to the coach, and if someone flops they should be teched.
Got a quick question for you. There was an incident in the Tasmania-Melbourne game where a foul was called on Tasmania when Chris Gording had a three-point attempt and fell backwards, and they called a foul on Tassie.
I know
Scott
what you're
Roth
thinking.
Challenged it, and the challenge was successful. Now, in that instance, that team had already been warned earlier in the game about faking, or I think that was the exact words used, but it was about flopping. Now, if they've already been warned, coach's challenge is successful, shouldn't Chris Golding get a tech foul?
So it's an interesting one. I'm going to go to the Illawarra game on Sunday, where Xavier Cooks was called for a foul going for a rebound, and they challenged it. And what ended up happening was Lockie Ulbrich pushed Zay into the guy. Now, they came back and said, that's no foul, challenge successful, but they couldn't give it to Lockie because you can't change it. So I think that's the system where, at the moment, I believe that's the situation. Maybe they'll look to change it because I think that's been one of the best coaches' challenges that you can not just, like, look at the Delhi situation last year. That's what they used a lot with Perth when he went up for the layup and the foul was caught on the arm, but it was on the body or something like that, and they couldn't look at the whole play. Now they can. I love that they can change it. But I see where you're coming. Well, then call
see the difference.
Or call the foul.
Right, but the difference in the Golding one is that they had already had a warning as a team for flopping. So now if that's exposed as having been a flop because the coach's challenge was successful, given the warning.
Right, but now let me throw this at you. Does that mean now you've got to go back on every replay that someone flops and that could potentially then be a tech foul? So, you wouldn't do that, right? But what I'm saying is that where do you draw the line? Just because a team challenged doesn't mean they should get a tech foul now. But I'm with you. I completely understand what you're saying, but I don't know how you get it out of the game.
I told you how you get it out of the game. I've told you many times. Yeah. You give the coach of the player who flopped a tech foul. Okay, now the coach don't get two techs before they're turfed. That coach is going to say, hey, nobody on my team better flop because I don't want to get thrown out. Okay, that's how you end it. Simple as that.
Mate, I reckon in my time, coaches would have been thrown out. You'd flop to get rid of your coach.
well, that's the other thing. Then you see which coaches really exactly. have their
players. Hey, you want to bring me off the bench? You go sit in the change room.
All right, let's call it a night.
Good on you, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We have fun, Boddy and I. Appreciate it, Boddy. Thank you so much to all our listeners. Look out for socials. We love it. And remember, check it out. Great round three coming up, and we'll see you next time.
Right. So
I'm telling you, Boddy, mate, if you were my coach, I reckon you wouldn't have lasted a quarter, mate. I would have had two tech. I would have just jumped on the floor with no one touching me.
It still works because I would have cut you the following week.